Listen anywhere, anytime to San Diego's ESPN 1700. We are streaming live at ESPN1700.com.
Or download the free ESPN 1700 app from Google Play or iTunes.
This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the bat for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW. 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome, folks. It is indeed the Ray Program. Glad to have you on board. Phone lines open for Beeswax, 844-RAY-SHOW. That's 844-729-7469. Emails, which we will get to in a little tiny bit, at raylucia.com. Just go there, R-A-Y-L-U-C-I-A.com. Click on the Ask Ray button, and it gets right to me. And in fact, if you email me during the course of the program, in my last segment I get to emails, I'll take yours first. How's that grab you? RayLucia.com, L-U-C-I-A.com. A lot on the agenda today. Steve Allendorf will be joining us. We're going to ask him about interest rates and a whole bunch of other stuff. But speaking of interest rates, I am intrigued by the Treasury Department's announcement of a $34 billion auction of five-year notes at what they call a high yield of 1.742%. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's a high yield? Well, okay, higher than it's been. But still, when you look at rates elsewhere, you got to say to yourself, why would you buy a U.S. Treasury? And money is flowing in to U.S. Treasuries like there's no tomorrow. So I'm going to talk about that coming up in just a little bit and give you some alternatives to U.S. Treasuries. I know nothing's safer than a U.S. bond, which back in 2011, the U.S. was downgraded, but it's still the safest instrument in the world, no doubt about that. But what about certificates of deposit? Aren't they pretty darn safe? Yeah, maybe if you've got $1 billion you want to put somewhere, be a different story. But like for most of us, where, you know, we run around with $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 CDs. Oh, come on. Most people are buying $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 in CDs, and they're all protected by FDIC. And what about insurance companies? They offer you guaranteed rates as well. And most states have a state guarantee fund. It's not FDIC, it's a state guarantee fund that will insure all or most of the principal up to a certain limit. So what's the big razzmatazz about buying a U.S. Treasury for 5 years or ten? The 10-year rate is still down there at 2.166. You want to make a loan to the government for 10 years and get 2.1% and, you know, lose money every time the rates tick up? Come on. Anyway, we'll talk with that. As I said, Steve Allendorf joining us. But then I come across this, and it's very, very frustrating. Here's my question. What in the heck is the government doing trying to give you financial advice? Yep. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, more commonly known as Elizabeth Warren's Bureau. And granted, they've probably done some good out there. I haven't totally explored all of the good that they've done, but I think the last time I checked, my credit card interest rate, if I carry a balance, is higher today than it was back before the CFPB. I could be wrong on that. That's just me and my credit cards. Of course, I don't carry a balance. Maybe they jacked it up in the event I do. I don't know. But I do know this. When they get into the advisory business, they're making a huge mistake because they don't got a clue. And that's what we'll start with. So sit back, folks. Relax. It's time for us to do it again here on the Ray Lucia program. Yeah, just like the Beach Boys. The beach was the place to go. It's a great place to go today. Okay, it's very frustrating for those of us that have somewhat of a financial background to hear that there's a bureau of the federal government that's pretty much stepping into the financial planner role, in particular when they have no freaking clue what they're talking about. For example, the CFPB released a new report on Social Security and reverse mortgages that, according to Jamie Hopkins, is so limited in scope and riddled with inaccurate statements that it likely does more harm than good. Yep. They just want to make themselves look more important. That's what they're doing. And they're not that important. Granted, they must have done something good. Somebody will send me an email and tell me all the things. I don't care. But when it comes to giving you financial, I've quoted from this show academic studies that absolutely refute what this article is saying and what the CFPB is presenting. So who are they to go out and present that this is a bad idea? What's the idea? Let me read on. The report takes a blunt swipe at using home equity through a reverse mortgage to support deferral of Social Security benefits without acknowledging the nuances of various strategies that coordinate the use of home equity as part of a comprehensive approach to retirement income planning. The CFPB universally condemns all Social Security deferral strategies that include replacing income in the early years of retirement with draws from a reverse mortgage. Seriously? What happened to Dr. Pfau from the American College and his outstanding white paper and report on how deferring your Social Security by taking money from a reverse mortgage if you don't have it elsewhere, or if it's all tied up in a pre-tax retirement account that you'd have to pay tax on, actually works to your benefit, in particular if you live longer than what the life expectancy tables tell you how long you're going to live. And since we are living longer and they're still using old actuarial tables for these studies, they're already inaccurate. We'll talk about longevity maybe in hour number two of this program. But you've heard me talk about it enough to know that we're gaining a 1 year of extra life expectancy for every 3 to 4 years that we're alive. So to say this to a 62-year-old who may make it to 90 or 95 is, I think, disingenuous, to say the least. With this blanket condemnation, the CFPB naively disregards ancillary benefits to other retirement assets that a consumer or his advisor may rightly wish to conserve. Additionally, the CFPB's analysis portrays Social Security deferral in a negative light, potentially causing more retirees to lose valuable lifetime income by claiming benefits too early. How many times have we gone over this? The CFPB analysis misrepresents and inaccurate conclusions failed to provide a comprehensive review of potential benefits of Social Security deferral and proper use of home equity. Instead, the report unleashed an overly broad and inaccurate censure that could hamper meaningful discussion. I mean, just to give you an idea, here's what they say. They paint Social Security's deferral as having minimal benefits to retirees. Seriously? Minimal benefits? So they use a single female in their example, ignoring the fact that married couples derive significant benefit for that single female once her husband dies. And she, in this case, would get a significantly higher Social Security benefit for the rest of her life by using a deferral. Then they misquote the whole terminology. Here's what they say. What they're describing is not actually a delay of benefits, but instead a strategy that helps women avoid claiming benefits early. They're talking about taking benefits at 62. That's not a deferral. That's getting 75% or so of what the actual Social Security benefit was supposed to be. They're not even quoting reality here. Adding to the confusion, the CFPB's narrative implies that delaying Social Security benefits provide minimal benefits to the individual because they ignore the longevity protection of Social Security and the cost of living adjustments. Seriously? How can you ignore that? We in the financial business talk about it. I talk about it on this program almost every single freaking day. Message to the government. Stay out of the advice business because you don't know what you're talking about. Interest rates when we come back. Don't go away.
Your business, your life. ESPN 1700.
I'm going to talk more about this strategy thing and the CFPB and the government with Steve Allador coming up in just a moment. But I've got to get this off my chest, too, before Steve comes, because I'm looking at this saying, you know what? This is another way that we're being misled, either by advertising or who knows what. The brokerage community? I don't know. But I talked about this earlier. The Treasury Department auctions $34 billion of five-year notes at what they call a high yield of 1.742%. Okay, high is relative. It's actually pretty darn low. But it is the safest instrument in the world. I get that. And I get if you're a government somewhere with several billions of dollars you want to park, you might put your money into a five-year note. The 10-year Treasury at 2.16%, significantly lower than it was even a year ago. It's come down, back down. Where's all this inflation we're supposed to be having? But that's not my point. I'll let Steve address that if he wants. I'm saying to myself, well, why would I buy a 10-year Treasury for 2.16%? I just pulled some CD rates off the internet just for the fun of it. 2.16. Here's a mid-first direct. I have no idea who that is. Doesn't matter. 2.5%. Okay. So I can get FDIC insurance, which is the government, and I can earn a higher rate than buying a treasury. So who wants to buy a 10-year treasury? A substantial penalty for early withdrawal. Yeah, what is it? 6 months interest? It's not that big of a deal. And a person that's buying a 10-year treasury, if interest rates go up, you got a big penalty anyway, don't you? Don't you remember? Interest rates go up, the value of your bond, and this is a bond, goes down. But then I said, well, wait a minute. What about insurance companies? Don't they offer what are called multi-year guaranteed annuity contracts? MYGAs, M-Y-G-A's? The answer is yes, they do. Which are just like CDs. Oh, but the guy on TV says annuities are bad. I'd rather die than sell you an annuity. Well, let's take a look at the 10-year fixed annuity contract. In the state of California anyway, there's $250,000 of protection under the state guarantee fund. I'm doing that from memory. I could be off a little bit there. So don't quote me on that one. But most states do protect the principle of an annuity. And some states, like Texas, says it's even sheltered from the claims of creditors. How's 3.4% sound? But annuities are bad. You see this misinformation that's being doled out by whoever's got the most money to spend on advertisements or whatever. The guy on TV is a billionaire. he gets suspended because he wants to charge you 1 or 2% on the monies that he is managing. But he can't do that. He can't guarantee you with the backing of the government or the backing of an A-rated or B-plus rated or A-minus rated insurance company. He can't do that and give you that kind of a rate on a fixed, safe, guaranteed investment. So the government, the CFPB, it comes out and says, well, we're going to chastise all of those advisors, Steve Allendorf, one of them, that says you should potentially use a reverse mortgage to give you the cash flow that you might need so that you can postpone taking your Social Security benefits. A person like myself, whose wife accrued virtually no Social Security benefits because her job was raising our four kids and taking care of her husband, making sure that I got where I needed to go every single day. And the kids got to school and all that. Yeah, that's a job, but you didn't get paid and pay into the Social Security system. So for me, postponing to age 70 not only provides 75% more money for the rest of my life, but it provides my wife with a continuation of that higher number for the rest of her life, and she will likely outlive me. So the CFPB, using old actuarial tables for life expectancy and misquoting what a reverse mortgage can and cannot do, misquoting in this article what they actually charge for a reverse mortgage, which has come down dramatically, and using your taxpayer dollars to talk about something that affects less than one-tenth of 1% of the population. Are you pissed about that? I am. Let's see if Steve Allendorf is. Steve, I don't get it. They're using my tax dollars and your tax dollars to promote and promulgate misinformation about something that is a strategy that I've talked about on this program and you and I have talked about, and it's been proven in academic labs.
Well, we see it all the time, but first I want to say that your wife, Jeannie, had the toughest job because she had to raise the four kids.
Five with me.
Well, I was going to say the four kids take care of you and her husband.
Yeah.
Not just the information that's provided that is not always accurate. I mean, even in my business, with all of the new guidelines that we've had to do over the last 10 or 11 years, a lot of these guidelines have been put into place by people that don't do mortgage loans.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, it's like we shake our head at the things that we're required to do, realizing that the initial intent was to make doing mortgage loans more transparent from one lender to the next, to make it easier for a borrower to understand what's going on, to make the playing field more fair. And what's happened is the playing field is less fair. It is way more confusing for a borrower with all of the requirements and the documentation that we need to send out. It's made it significantly more difficult to do a mortgage transaction.
Yeah, I looked at my interest rates the other day on credit cards and I looked at the average interest rate today is like 16%. As I recall, it was like 3 or 4 percentage points lower than that a few years ago before the CFPB. I don't know. That's anecdotal. I don't know how accurate that is, but my instinct tells me that with all of this stuff, and when you've got to write a 10,000 page or 1,000 page or more than one page on some rule or regulation, it's too much for me.
And usually it's not one page. It's usually about 2,000 pages.
Right.
And most people don't even read it.
They just pass it.
They just pass it. But going back to what you were talking about at the top of the hour, what is the ultimate goal that somebody should have in mind when they're looking to retire? It's either amassing as much as they can that they can actually be able to draw off of, or how do they generate
income?
And that's something that we can talk about as far as how doing a reverse mortgage might be the first thing that you want to do and not the last resort.
Oh, man, Elizabeth Warren is not going to like this guy. I can tell you that. We'll be back with Steve Allendorf, LoanFinancialPlanner.com. He's the best. the best in the business, loanfinancialplanner.com. Stick around, folks. It's the Ray Lucia Show.
Listen anywhere, anytime to San Diego's ESPN 1700. We are streaming live at ESPN1700.com.
Or download the free ESPN 1700 app from Google Play or iTunes.
Welcome back, folks. It is the Ray Lucia program with my special guest host today, Steve Allendorf from LoanFinancialPlanner.com. So we've been beating up on the government a little bit today. You know, there are unintended consequences many times, even though the government may come forth with well-intended things that are designed to help people or lower costs or whatever. But we find that in many instances, the costs just go up. Steve, you alluded to that a little bit in the mortgage business before the break, that it costs a lot more now to process a loan than it used to.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, small amounts of that are now being passed on to the consumer. But the whole intent with all of these changes was to make it easier, was to potentially make it more cost effective for a borrower. And it's not doing that. I mean, in certain companies, based on their size, we've had to hire probably, you know, five times as many people in the compliance area to make sure that when we're doing a loan, when we finish a loan, when we sell a loan, that it meets all of the requirements where Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, or VA will buy the loan. Because if they don't, then we get it back. And then the only way to sell it is to what would be called in the scratch and dent market, where you get maybe 60 cents on the dollar. So if companies don't protect themselves and they get a lot of these buybacks, you could run a good company out of business.
I thought that Trump was going to make regulations great again.
Well, he has to have support from all the, you know, the Congress and the Senate to be able to start passing all of this stuff. And with the ideas that he had, I think could have been beneficial for the mortgage business. Whether they'll get to the point where we'll see them come to fruition, right now I've got some doubts.
Okay, I was talking about reverse mortgages. We have discussed it. I've talked about Dr. Fowle. He wrote a book on the subject. The CFPB is basically saying, Fowle, you're an idiot. They're not saying it that way, but basically they're denigrating some of the work that's been done by some very serious academics. Talk about reverse mortgages and planning.
Let's look at some simple facts. Is first, you had mentioned that they did not feel comfortable in recommending for an individual to delay taking Social Security and doing a reverse mortgage. But let's take a look at it. What's the difference between what you're able to pull in Social Security at the age of 62 and then at the top end, which is 70. It's almost 75% more.
It is. 75% more money. Do the math.
Let's assume that both of you are 62 years or older and can qualify for a reverse mortgage. Let's assume there's enough equity in the property and you have a mortgage. And you're paying $1,500 to $2,000 a month on that mortgage. And if that reverse mortgage just simply eliminates that $2,000 a month, then what does that do? That puts you in a position where you can potentially hold off on pulling your Social Security so that you can pull more in your older years.
All inflation adjusted, which they neglect to really take into consideration in this article, but that's an inflation adjusted number every year.
And not only that, is you eliminate that $1,500 or $2,000 a month. Instead of then, let's assume that you have a self-directed retirement account. Instead of pulling $2,000 a month, actually you'd have to pull maybe $2,500 or $2,600 and take that other $500 or $600 for taxes.
Sure.
And deplete that account over the period of time, where the reverse mortgage is allowing you to keep that money in that account, not pay taxes on it because you're not pulling it out, and allowing it to grow at a much higher return rate than what you're able to do with the reverse mortgage.
At a potentially higher return rate. We should be clear on that.
Correct.
But it's still, I mean, you bring up some of the financial aspects. Think about the emotional aspect of that. You have no mortgage now. You've got no mortgage. You're freed up. If you want to take that $2,000 a month you were paying to Bank of America or whatever and use it to spend for whatever your retirement needs are, great. If you wanted to take a little bit of money out or do Roth conversions, they don't talk about some of the strategy behind this. Remember, the reverse mortgage money is all tax-free.
Free. And in certain situations, if you don't owe anything on your home, you can do a combination of creating a monthly income flow or cash flow, or you can simply set up a line of credit that you can pull and take money from at any time. And the beauty of a reverse mortgage, because it's federally guaranteed, that income is guaranteed for the rest of your life. They're doing a projection that your house is going to increase in value by, I think, 4%. If the market crashes and your home value goes down, it doesn't matter. You're still going to get that monthly income flow. If you've got a line of credit set up, the line of credit actually grows.
Every year.
Every year, whether you're pulling money out of it or not. Again, what kind of investment do you have that will guarantee that it will grow no matter what happens in the market? But here's another point. Instead of amassing all of this great, these great assets to pass along to your kids to get them when you pass on, if you have enough equity in the home where you can pull money out on a monthly basis if you need it, have a line of credit to access money if you need to, but you might have money that you can now pass on to your kids and see the enjoyment on their face while you're alive.
You betcha.
To get, for you to be able to help them out, it just, to me, there's so many advantages.
Folks, if you want information, Steve Elder, loanfinancialplanner.com, or you can email me. I've got tons. I mean, I've got the academic research, and you can look it up yourself. So this CFPB article and their criticism is really not sound financial advice. It's just not sound financial advice. And it reminds me of times back in the day when individuals would talk about things like, well, you should never purchase an annuity inside of an IRA because it's a tax shelter inside of a tax shelter. And you scratch your head and you say, wait a minute, you're a government employee or you're a compliance officer. Do you understand that? I just went through an analysis a few minutes ago. You can buy a 10-year annuity and get 3.5%. You can buy a 10-year CD and get 2.5%. You can buy a 10-year U.S. Treasury and get 2.1%. Which one is better? They all produce ordinary income. The annuity inside the IRA or the CD inside the IRA, when the money comes out, it's still all ordinary income. So that's bogus information. But yet I can tell you, I have sat across the desk from compliance officers and have had to explain the difference between ordinary income rates and capital gains rates. And I will tell you that I lost the argument. I was right. But it didn't matter because she said, well, on page 14 of the manual here, you're not supposed. Oh, my gosh. Are you serious? And that when I read this article in the CFPB releasing misleading report on Social Security, you can read that, too. You'll be amazed and shocked that your taxpayer dollars are going for these kinds of studies that impact 0.1% of the total population. It's insane.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say the key is don't trust what the CFPB says or tells you what to do. If a potential reverse mortgage may fit into your plan and retirement plan, talk to a good loan professional that will give you insights into your situation and how it will work. In my scenarios, I'll give my clients ideas and suggestions, but then recommend that they take those suggestions to their financial planner, because I'm not a financial planner. I do mortgage loans, but I can give them ideas that they can then pass on to the financial planner. And with what I'm able to provide with how they can use the reverse mortgage together, we can potentially create an incredibly strong retirement plan that will either amass a greater fortune for the individual or generate more cash flow on a monthly basis.
It's so important that you have a team of professionals a loan professional, a loan financial planner. That's Steve, loanfinancialplanner.com. He can lend advice on reverse mortgages, on traditional mortgages. Mortgage rates still holding pretty firm?
The 10-year note, I think this morning, crept down to between 2.08 and 2.10. That doesn't tell us specifically where interest rates are, but it's trended down. Over the last 2 weeks, it was hovering around 2.2. So we're seeing 30-year fixed rates, high threes, low fours, 5 years. If you've got some really good equity, I'm seeing the 5 years in the mid threes, and this could be for jumbo loans over $1 million.
Steve Aldort, loanfinancialplanner.com, loanfinancialplanner.com. Thank you, Steve. I'm very excited to hear more about this reverse mortgage thing because I think it's a wonderful tool that, especially the line of credit, that everybody can use day one. You turn age 62, if nothing else, get the line of credit. You can get it for dirt nothing.
Yes, it becomes a great part of your complete financial plan.
Steve Aldort, Loan Financial Planner, 888-563-1070. We shall return with
your business, your life, ESPN 1700.
And welcome back to the Ray Lucia Show, helping you to make better money moves. If you're looking for the best, really, seriously, the best loan professional out there, check out Steve Aldort, loanfinancialplanner.com. Forward mortgages, reverse mortgages. He is a true loan financial planner. He's not like a CFP or anything like that. He doesn't do securities, none of that stuff. But what he does is he coordinates how your finances, your loans, or your debt can fit and actually become an asset for you instead of a liability. It's brilliant stuff. And I, of course, he's been on the air with me for 20 plus years, and he's the best. He's just the best. LoanFinancialPlanner.com. I got an email in, so hit it, fellas. Just got this in during the break, and when I get them in, I go right to the emailers. This is Dan, the man. Well, I made the man part up. This is Dan. I own a business. Can I use a reverse mortgage to pay off my 100K business loan? The payments are over 3K per month and choking me. Dan, we don't want you to choke here, bud. Absolutely. I mean, think about this for just a minute. You're making business loan payments. All right. The principal is not income tax deductible. The interest is, but the principal pay down is not. So in order for Dan to pay a $3,000 principal payment, he's got to go out and earn $4,200 a month. Pay Uncle Sam $1,200, give the bank $3,000. It's a lot of money. That's why it's choking him. So he does a reverse mortgage, and he's taken this 100 grand of equity out of his home. Who's getting screwed on that deal? Not Dan. Dan's still living in the house. His wife's still living in the house. If he dies, his wife still gets to live in the house. No worries. The difference is Dan just freed up $4,200 a month that he can put into a defined benefit plan for his own retirement, and hopefully that money will grow and be worth more to his heirs than what that mortgage cost ends up being by the time he dies. Of course, he could always pay that loan off early if he wants to, doesn't have to, but he might choose to if, in fact, he wants to keep the home and the family. But I ask you this question. And I know the answer in my case. Do your kids want your house? They want their own house. Now, maybe if it's the beautiful place on the prairie that they all grew up in, the family farm, or there's a business there, perhaps I might answer the question a little differently. But especially for grown children, they probably already have a house, or they don't want to live in the house they grew up in, where they watch their baby brother throw up on the floor and they go, ugh. Come on, they don't want your house. Steve and I are going to talk more about this, helping our kids and grandkids buy houses using a reverse mortgage for a down payment. And as he said, watch the smile on your face and your spouse's face as you get to enjoy, before you croak, the fruits of your labor in passing along a great asset to your child, like a house. Okay, next. Jack, if I can get all of my assets into a POD or TOD status, do I really need a revocable trust? Well, you don't need one for the avoidance of probate. But remember, a revocable living trust does a couple of things. It tells you how to manage the assets. So a payable on death account avoids probate. A transfer on death account avoids probate. So if you're not concerned about that child having total control of the asset, or you don't want your kids to get into World War III because you put them on title of a bank account that's got $200,000 in it, and you don't want them to have all of that money at once, that's where a revocable living trust can come in. A trustee would step in and say, no, you guys don't get $100,000 each. It says right here in the trust, you get $25,000 after you graduate from college. You get $25,000 when you buy a home. You get $25,000 when you have your first child, and by the time you're 40, if there's anything left, you can have the rest. Or whatever, you can make up the numbers. That's what a trust does. A revocable living trust, meaning it is revocable. You can change your mind. You got two kids, you got $200,000, you're going to give each of them $100,000. One of them turns into a coke freak, and you say, you ain't getting squat until you figuratively and literally get your nose clean. And so now I'm going to set up a trust to make sure that you pass your drug test before you get that first $25,000 check. And you pass it again before you get the next $25,000 check. That's all. That's what a trust does. It allows you from heaven to look down upon your kids and make sure that they're fulfilling some of your requests before you give them all the assets. It's up to you. Mary, I'm looking at starting an HSA, that's a health savings account. Do I have to be concerned about fees? You know, I've seen some articles on this, and it's pretty much ludicrous. Because, yes, there are fees for the investment management in an HSA. But the benefit that you get of a tax-deductible contribution with tax-free earnings and tax-free distributions for qualified health care, not to mention the fact that you're saving 7.65% on every single contribution that comes out of your paycheck, 7.65%. What if the fee is 0.25%, right? So you take 0.25% divided into 7.65. You made up that for a lot of years. So no, don't be concerned about the fees on an HSA. First of all, they're not all that bad. And second of all, the benefits you get far outweigh whatever costs within reason the health savings account fund, if you will, charges. No doubt about it. Okay, I am out of time. I thank you very much for tuning in to the Ray program. How much time do I have? Am I seriously out of time? 30 seconds, that's it? Just email me, folks. Go to RayLucia.com. Love to hear from you and tell your friends and neighbors about the Ray Lucia program. Now go out and make it a fabulous day. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
listening to The Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information, answering questions about your biggest financial challenges, talking about your money, your business, and your life. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of the station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions. Ray is available to take your questions online at raylucia.com.